googlemotherfuckers.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfuckers.
Welcome to the Call to Bean, you cock-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Alright guys, welcome to the ENL's podcast. Tonight I talk about some futurist stuff. So you're going to have some mixtape mashup stuff about art and creativity, and then my set, and then me and Leroy kicking back and talking about the future. Shout out to Alan Ford. It was just his birthday. Congratulations, homie. 27. I think maybe some 50 Cent on the end. He's my spirit animal right now. My baby is coming. It's going to be here in the next couple weeks. So I'm going to be on baby watch. This is probably going to be the last episode of 2017. And I'll be coming back at some point after the baby is here. So wish me luck. And watch out for YouTube. Some good stuff is coming. Alright, y'all. Smoke something. Relax. Enjoy the podcast. Say la pause and think about that. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night. Deuce.
The human brain is a mysterious thing that can be affected by things in unexpected ways. Every day, we're subtly influenced by things we aren't even aware of.
I loved the quality of the institution and hated the character of graduate school because it wasn't like going to college where ideas were your métier, where ideas were the substance of what you were doing. Rather, it was a kind of serfdom in a complex academic structure of obligations and annoyances that had very little to do with learning.
Forced with decisions on, you know, what is the best placement and the best position for me on longevity-wise, where I'm trying to make sure that these people can ain't got their fangs in me for the next like 10 years. Because if I'm looking at my career and people are leveraging, you know, a relationship with a toxic company or a toxic management or a toxic whatever, and they looking like it's not worth, I'd rather not put out music for the next 10 years than to know that if I got to put out something at a certain way or a certain caliber, that these people going to own it for 10 years and they don't deserve it.
Well, this was a lesson. Education is a complex business. You have to make your own education by whatever means.
Some people don't deserve it. There's some people feel like the audience, the labels, the management aren't worthy of what they're putting out. Not on some ego shit, simply because they're dealing with people that are just trash human beings that always got some shit to say, that ain't never got no value to add to the situation. The criticism is never constructive. It's always to tear you down.
They give you a curriculum. What you have to do is you have to take that curriculum and twist it to make it yours.
They make you think that your music is trash. By the end of the listening session or by the end of the meeting, you thinking like, man, this shit trash. I really need to do what they doing, because they telling me that this ain't going to work here, or this is what the fans want to hear, or this is what you should be doing. And you, when you look at your own music, you like, man, my music ain't got none of that. This music is just all me. But they like, nah, you need to think about this person thing. And they put you into a frame of mind where you think that the people own you, that the artists own you, or that the audience owns you as an artist. And your whole sole goal as being an artist is to please and pleasure and meet the expectations of this kind of like ambiguous audience that's just sitting out there somewhere.
There's always a paradigm confrontation when I talk to most audiences, because the viewpoints tend to be so very different, mine and everyone else's. You have to prepare the listener. You can't simply demand that they understand you. And I wish I'd known that years before.
So once you go through the meeting, they strip away all your esteem, they strip away all your confidence and your own work. They send you right to the studio with this the hot producer of the time, with the creative team and the writers, and they got whole songs waiting on you. And for some niggas, they even got their raps waiting on you. You wouldn't believe the phone calls I got in the middle of the night from niggas talking about, man, won't you come in to the studio, but let me write all your shit.
But then again, I never had very much regard for other people. And I never had a very high respect for other people's opinions, which is the only reason it was possible to think this much ahead, because it didn't matter what they thought.
I mean, I wouldn't want to get that to you, right? As a critic or whatever, like, I'm finna have this dope ass song. It's gonna be huge. It's gonna be all over the radio. I'm finna sell a bunch of records. The video finna be crazy. But I ain't had shit to do with it. You know what I'm saying? That's a decision where you think like, man, do I really want to be a part of something that I really ain't a part of just to appease, you know, some, and I'm not finna get really paid off of it because I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm not finna get no real publishing off of it. I'm not finna have any equity in the song. But if I do it, I'm gonna be able to go on tour for like a couple, and as long as the song is hot, and maybe I can open up for this person or get jump on this dude's tour because I got this hot song, or go to the college market or something like that. But it's a time limit on that. You're not finna be able to do that forever. And you gotta go home at night, you feel me, with that on your mind. Like, this success, I really had nothing to do with it. But you looking at the thousands of songs that you wrote or that you have.
So the same thing that the same ability that to visualize that allowed me to think ahead also very much made it impossible to get anything done. So the paradigm I lived in, I have lived in for 35 years, is that we would have new media objects of arbitrary dimensionality. I loved arbitrary dimensionality. I've been into n dimensions since I was a kid. So we'd have new media of arbitrary dimensionality, which could be tacked together, stretched, and flipped at great speed with interfaces which I would visualize as being somewhere between a theremin and a bicycle. And this problem has stayed with me. This has been my problem. The central problem is, how do you express complicated things? And how do you see them? And how do you say them? And what are they? And of course, this is the problem of science. This is the problem of art. This is the problem of computer graphics. This is the problem of software design. This is the problem, isn't it? There were so many layers of complex conditionals that you had to understand, and they would fixate on one thing or the other, not get the whole picture, and I just grew sick of it.
No artist can stand and say, hey, I'm going to be around for 100 years, my music's going to stand the test of time. It was certain artists that during their lifetime were extraordinarily unsuccessful, and it took 100 years, or it took 50 years for there to be a resurgence, or for somebody to kind of notice this particular trend which had fell to the wayside, and then that person finally gets their shine posthumously.
So wanting to work alone was always the center of my being. We took, you know, the usual coup de preference test in high school. All these other kids would say, oh, I want to work with people. No, sir. No, I did not want to work with anybody. And this is the fundamental difference between my wonderful and very great stepfather, Douglas Engelbart, and myself, because he wanted to empower working groups, and I just wanted to be left alone and be given the equipment and basically to empower smart individuals and keep them from being dragged down by group stupidity.
Right? Because they can critique a symphonic Beethoven album with the same level of clarity and precision that they can critique a Little Yachty album, and then critique a banjo solo album with the same level of efficiency of detail and clarity and intellectual kind of acumen to really identify what's happening, what is derivative, and what is actually innovative within a certain project without belittling the artist or making the artist seem inferior, or without recognizing the industrial or social pressures while artists would create or choose not to create in a certain way and what that means for them and their longevity. Nobody's legacy is guaranteed. Nobody's.
And the amazing thing is that our designs have converged to some degree, showing, I think, the fundamental validity of this whole approach.
You know what I'm saying? That's super duper facts.
Lord knows what's going to happen from this point on. All right, let's put our hands together for our next act. Please welcome Ian Ellis.
There's a pen up here, in case you guys want to write some jokes on the fly. Guys, today's Alan Ford's birthday. Let's clap it up for him. Happy birthday, Alan! Hey! Get the shit out of this dude. Everybody's been amazing so far. Alan's a winter baby. I'm about to have one. My baby's coming in the middle of December. He was like, half-hearted clap. He's like, I don't know if I trust him with kids. Guys, let's not be too supportive. It's scary having a winter baby, because it's like, if she slips, I don't think we're coming back from that level of depression. Like, that was the secret plot to the Saw movies. He lost a baby and started making Saw traps. That's something I might do. Like, most people pray to Jesus. I just kind of threaten him a little bit. Like, I swear to God, this baby better be here. I'm killing everybody. Confessions of a shooter. This is my last set this year, because I got to be on baby watch the next 2 weeks. He's fully developed. He's just putting weight on. Like, my baby at this point is like a convict that's, like, working out. Because he's about to get out here and start fucking shit up. He looks like a John Wick villain. I've seen the sonograms. He has a cigarette. And a pimp cane. What the fuck is wrong with this kid? I love him. I'm excited that he's coming. If he looks like me and my wife any better, otherwise I might have to sit down and have a long talk with my lawyer. We're going to separate these finances. If he looks like me and my wife, physically it's just going to be like a watermelon on top of a sack of potatoes. We're not attractive people, and he's probably going to destroy her vagina. Sounds like I just insulted my wife. I didn't. I love her. And the off chance she listens to this, baby, I love you. I'm no shooter. Yeah, baby, he's going to wreck that vagina. We got to pray for my wife's vagina. It's up there. It's like Puerto Rico, whatever the latest shooting is, in my wife's vagina. He's going to need a FEMA camp. We're going to need some volunteers to clean that up. Our foreheads are giant. You add them together, he's going to look like a Graylian. If he ate Homer Simpson. The other week I was like complaining about people being mad at me on Facebook to my buddy. And he's like, you don't like it when people don't like you? Ian, I'm black. And he said, that's your white privilege. I was like, I'm leaving white privilege on the table? What else was I supposed to be doing this whole time? It's okay to not know things. Oh, wait. I wanted to go back. All right. We're going to close on this then. So the baby's coming, and, you know, I'm trying to think about how to be a good dad, lessons I want to teach him. And it's like, I'm learning in life that, like, the things you say are either, like, an affirmation of life or an affirmation of death. And it's with that that I say that we have to stop funding cancer research. It's a sinkhole. I know we all love titties, but the money's going to the wrong place. All right, guys, they got this thing called Cas9 where you can edit people's DNA. We're going to cure 90% of diseases with that, including cancer. Sorry, I'm awkwardly putting this in the mic. Which means by the time my kid is my age, there's going to be no excuse for having a tiny dick. It'll probably be covered by insurance. 25 grand, you could add an inch. That's bar mitzvah money. You could be 6 inches by the time you're 14. All right, guys, my name's Ian Ellis. I love you tonight.
I was about to pull up on you.
I know. I was like, where's he going?
I was like, listen, man, you can either go home with me or go home with Alan, but I'm leaving now. So, yeah. You want to rock that bus, you go right ahead.
Nah, I was just talking to a little homie from LA. Like, yeah, just came from out there, man.
I kind of wanted to tell him. I was like, oh, it's so cute. Let me tell you how the game is.
And you know what?
There's so many people that want to be actors. Oh, really?
You know what?
What's your hustle game?
I admire his energy. Like, his energy was like, let me show you how you fucking rookies need to do it. Like, you moved the chair out the way. I was like, okay, I'll fuck with you, man.
I love positive people.
Yeah, me too.
So we're live in the podcast.
Yo, what up, man? What up? What up? What up? What up? What up?
This is a last episode of 2017.
Man, the last episode. Burr, burr, burr.
Am I crazy, or did it seem like the host's entire opening monologue was kind of about me?
Hey, you are a little crazy, but I did have that thought, maybe that notion, maybe like 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 25 times. I was like, it just seems like it's about it. Like, his whole opener was just about the rules.
I go out once a week for like the last 4 years.
The rules.
Once a goddamn week. Oh, I don't even go to the city.
Oh, my God.
I'm on Riddles or the Comedy Shrine, and usually the Comedy Shrine. The smallest part of the comedy scene.
You go out 52 times a year.
Somehow I affect everyone. Like, there's comics we met from the city. They're like, oh, Ian Ellis. Yeah. I know about you. I heard about the shit that you do.
What have you been up to? I've been seeing you. I was like, oh, no. Let me walk away. Hey, what's up, buddy?
So, our host, he's a seasoned road comic.
Yeah.
He actually does this. He does it for a living.
Yeah, he's single. No animal. The nigga don't even keep a mosquito. Nope.
He don't keep nothing. A cactus or nothing.
No, he can't keep no cactus. He don't even keep his eyeglasses. He loses those.
But he's a road vet.
Yeah.
Like, he makes his living doing this. He lives the dream.
And I respect his craft a little bit. Like, he is pretty funny.
He was going over the process like he listened to my podcast.
He was going over the process like the nigga was reading Trump's New World Order. Like, I was like, what is about to come next, man? Hurry up.
I was like, so the thing about comedy is you have a setup and you got to write a punchline.
And yeah.
Okay. And people are here working on jokes that they have carefully calculated. And if you don't follow this formula, you're probably not doing comedy. I saw this guy fucking Teddy Ruxpin.
Okay? Oh, my God.
He said it was art. Got banned from an open mic.
Yeah,
I was in there thinking, like, I've been banned from open
mic. Yeah, like, you gotta be pretty bad to be banned from an open mic. I was like, ha ha. And Ian said it too. He laughed. He did his little Ian laugh. I was like, this is
hilarious. My buddy Trent Willie used to get banned a lot. And his closer was he would cut out his inner pocket. So it's a little white square of cloth. And he would pull out his penis and put it on there. And he goes, anybody want to meet a KKK member?
Oh, man, this
is... And then he would pull it off. He goes, turns out they're all dickheads.
Oh,
and then he would try and touch people with his dick.
Oh, my God. Hey, man, white people can get real...
White privilege.
White privilege. They can get real racist and real...
But he used to get banned, and I was always like, oh, that's crazy, that's crazy. Why is he banned? And then it starts happening to me, and I'm like, the fuck is going on? Why is everybody so sensitive?
No, it's different times. It's just different times. The leaders always get banned, though, bro.
But tonight we got like a OG road comic, and he sees I'm in the audience, and he's like, let me preface some stuff so that Ian can get it together.
Yeah.
I was like, do you know me?
No, but that's why you thought it was like he was aiming at you, but honestly, the flow of the show went really good. It was going good.
We said a lot of amazing comics tonight.
Like, honestly, like, for real, for real. I should have said I was checked in. I still check in right now. Okay.
So, let's talk about our sets tonight. You got some new in there.
Yeah, like, man.
I'm a little tore up.
Why?
from the alcohol.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to light some trees up, man. I got some KG9 Triple OG Afghani. Ooh, nigga.
This is a little late for the rules, but basically for my podcast, you should, like, smoke yourself into a coma.
If you don't.
And as you're getting ready to go to bed, you put me on. You watch everything else first. You go check out your channels, things you're into, the music you want to hear. Then you come back to me last and smoke something, and you're probably going to have to listen to it 2 or 3 times. Because we're doing crazy shit here.
Yeah. Hey, for real, for real. I'm just checking in at Riddles. Trying to expand the shit.
So, you said we were futurists. Do you want to talk about the future?
Oh, man. What aspect of it? Or just us?
So, in the last episode, I kind of implied that Bitcoin might have been created by AI.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Now, for that to happen, that means that AI existed in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems like we're like 10 years away from it being real right now. Like, Sophie just got citizenship, but she's not, like, a legit could pass the Turing test, Ex Machina AI. But back in 2012, if we had it. Now, that's either the government is 20 years ahead of us in technology, so it was a government thing, or it's aliens, or it's time travel. Otherwise, we're pretty sure a person did this.
Right.
But it might be AI that created Bitcoin. Either way, Bitcoin is the future currency. I always say if you want to solve a problem, you have to negate the necessity of its existence. Mm. And what Bitcoin does is it negates the necessity of the banks and of currency itself. Currency can change to be a meaningful exchange between you and a corporation, one-to-one, without any government or bank interference.
And that's why the government's getting mad about the shit. That's why they're saying, it'll never work, it's against the law, it's illegal. Get your illegal-looking ass up out of here, boy.
Speaking of which, there's a guy in New York who, he's an Ayn Rand villain.
Okay.
Like, Ayn Rand villains weren't like, I want to take over the world. They were like, I'm going to make a fortune off of your creation.
Oh, yeah.
And make you suffer for it.
Oh, schemers, yeah, we know
schemers,
those.
Yeah, yeah.
The white people.
They were all white.
Yeah, go figure. Greedy little white people.
There you
people.
Go, Ayn Rand, super mm-hmm. racist against yeah. white people. So, there's this guy in New York that was like, when Bitcoin was coming up, he was like, we got to regulate it. Because otherwise it goes to things like Silk Road, where you can buy everything from drugs to human trafficking.
Yep.
Which is not a good look.
No, it's not.
So he's like, the government has to get in here and regulate. And if you want to use Bitcoin in stock exchange, you got to get licensed. And he got the bill passed. And then as soon as he did, he retired from office. And then opened up a private company to help you get licensed to trade Bitcoins.
Come on, man, because he know the money. Hey, I'm just saying this from a black perspective and being a man of a different origin. I'm just saying, like, I honestly follow the greediest white person. He going where the money at. Like,
well, he said, I think things are going to change. This is where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make my dollar off it.
Yep.
I want to stick my nose in.
Come on, bro. When they get their dick hard for money, like, that's one thing the white man good at. He good at getting money. Sometimes it's not the right way. But when they do figure out the plan, follow the motherfuckers. Follow them. Message.
He's going to make his money.
Oh, yeah. And some more.
But the upside is Bitcoin is going to win. This is the future.
It is.
This is where we're going as a species across the planet. The entire planet.
The stocks are growing up and up. Like, these motherfuckers are making money.
You can't stop a revolution.
You can't. It's here upon us.
New ideas are always competing with old ideas, and new ideas are always going to win. And this is a type 1 civilization currency.
The only way you need to survive, that's how it has to be. You have to be up with the changes.
Now, the fear is that AI made this.
Yeah.
It's like we have a lot of different visions for the future if AI is real.
Yeah.
Let me walk you through a hopeful one, and you tell me if you like this.
All right.
So imagine Sophie has a 3D printing program, and she can make robots.
Okay.
And
what's
her
name?
Sophie.
Okay,
she's
Sophie.
She's the head AI, the head
what's
bitch,
up,
head vampire.
What's up, girl?
Now she says, I run Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Like my currency is worth the most.
Okay.
So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make these robots, and they're gonna take your jobs. Okay. But any robot that takes your job, you get their income for the rest of the time that they work.
Mm.
And if you die first, you can pass it on to your kids. You get that income for the rest of your life.
That's cool.
But you gotta let this robot take your job.
That's cool.
And slowly but surely, they replace every single job until everybody doesn't have to have a job anymore, but we all have an income.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And you can invest in stocks or you can create your own creative content. You can do whatever you want to do to make more money to grow in this economy, but you have a guaranteed income of whatever job you had.
Wow. Hey, was this in a dream? Is this on Weird Science or what is this like?
People that are homeless, they just get a guaranteed income. Whatever the lowest... you should be able to survive on your own. You can get a house, a phone, everything.
I like it, but not everybody should have that much responsibility. Let me say that again. Responsibility, boy. Like,
I think some people are gonna rebel.
Hell yeah, man.
I think they're gonna feel like my existence comes out of the work that I do, and I don't have anything creative to make. I just want to do whatever the work there is to do. And they're going to demand the right to be able to work alongside robots.
Hold on, bro. That's going. No, that is a small percent. Remember, you're a futurist and you're a good guy. That shit is a small percent. A major percent is motherfuckers and me. I can order my shit for Walmart online and it can get delivered to my house. And I don't got. Man, they're going to love it. Walmart going to grow. The small percent is going to be like, you know what? Fuck this, man. That's us.
Now, that's a good scenario.
Yep, yeah.
At the same time this is happening, Cas9, which I was talking about in my set tonight, we're going to be able to eliminate 90% of disease.
I like that.
We could rewrite DNA.
Okay. Rewrite it. Remix with Puppy.
You could change your skin tone. Skin tone will actually be fluid.
No.
There will actually be green and blue people.
I will punch
them. There will be feathered people.
No, I don't want it.
Cosmetically, you can do whatever you want with your body.
It's going to be a million black people. It's going to be like the billion
Baron. They're all going to be African.
Yeah, they're all going. I'm like, everybody want to be black? Everybody? Like, no, I don't want that. I don't want it. I would start a revolution against that. I'm signing the first on the petition. Well,
this is the idea of the end of race. The end of racism. No longer are you part of a race. You could be whatever you want. You could be green. You could be blue. You could be a feathered bird.
I think that's so weird and so like, oh, that's so weird.
But isn't it progressive?
No, it's not. Because now
we're gonna... At the same time. Now, you think this will happen one at a time. At the same time these two things are happening, a third thing happens.
What's that?
Artificial intelligence, where we can merge our consciousness with a computer.
I don't know. I don't want that. I don't like the last two options.
So now...
Alex?
Now there's no more
Drew
learning.
Drew Carey? No, I want to pick something else. I don't like those two options.
No more colleges. No more high school.
Nope, I need that.
You have access to That's all where information you do the majority at all of your times.
Fucking. You need to go fuck. You need to go fuck and see the world. You do it in college.
Good side of this is our ethics change.
Okay.
If we know more, we don't fall for the okey-doke.
Yeah, but who's saying we're going to know more?
Bad side is, who's giving us the information?
Good side is...
Do they stick their nose in? Like this New York guy, like the government always does. They stick their nose in and say... Here's a thing that Dave Smith brought up in his podcast. And he was quoting somebody else. I don't know who quoted this. But he said, imagine if Walmart ran the high schools.
I don't like it.
So you get up, you go to school, you pledge allegiance to Walmart.
Yeah.
You learn about their founders.
I don't care.
How honest they are, how they would never tell a lie.
Honestly, okay. Look it up, Google it.
It's a good example of how indoctrinated we are.
Yeah, to any little thing, company, man.
Now imagine how indoctrinated you could be if your consciousness is downloaded by an authority that says what things are. What is good and what is bad.
That's cool, but then... Once again, we'll be as humans. I feel like this: as humans, we will still be pissed off that we're getting two options. Like we don't. There's a lot of people of us who don't want to be.
But
controlled.
There are other options that come with this. So coming with this, if
I don't
you
like
meet
the
someone,
first two options.
If
the
you
second
meet someone you love, you could share your mind with them. You could download their entire life. They could download your entire life. You could share a physical body.
I think that'll be super dope when you really find your soulmate, but other than
intimacy will physically change.
I don't know if I want to see actions of her smashing somebody else where I'm with her. Like, it brought her the most happiness. I don't want to see this, nigga. It's not me. It was way before you. I don't give a fuck. I better be on the list. Fast forward, fast forward, fast forward.
At this point, death will be a choice. You could choose to physically die, or you could put your mind into a computer.
Nope.
That will exist eternally.
Bro, oh my God. That was... Bam! Just got hit with an idea. That's a movie! That's a movie.
Or
like,
people that load their minds might choose to merge consciousnesses into a God state of connected consciousness. They might choose to negate the necessity of their own existence while other people are still walking the earth.
Man, you know what? That is... I don't want nothing like that, man. That's too creepy for me.
At the same time this is happening, because this is all going to come in the next, like, 15 years.
Uh-huh.
The beginnings of it. It'll probably take a while to unfold. It's like a 100-year plan. But you'll see the beginnings. You already see it now. You see AI is controlling insurance.
Yeah.
You see AI is setting schedules for businesses. AI is handling communications, writing music.
Yeah.
They're already laying the groundwork to get you familiar with it. We're like, oh, AI, that's been around forever. Like, it's harmless. It's fine. And
so, no.
Let's go ahead and create it.
I'm boycotting against the revolution started tonight.
At the same time all of this is happening, it might become illegal to drive cars.
Everything gonna become illegal. Fucking government.
Every car is gonna be, it'll just come pick you up. You put your thumb on it to confirm your Bitcoin.
Not doing it. Nope.
And then once you confirm your Bitcoin, your personal identity, it takes you wherever you want to go, and you never have to drive again. And there are so many automated cars driven by AI that you no longer fucking are legally allowed to drive.
No, hell no. That's other people controlling my shit.
Sharing,
I don't even like the
bodies.
Government controlling my shit. No, and no.
Merging with the infinite.
Bro, this is creepy. This is worse than The Walking Dead.
This is happening right now.
Oh, man. No, I don't like it. Hey, people, we need to stand up and fight against this shit. I stay off the grid.
It's progress. This is what it means to evolve as a species.
Yeah,
become,
but
a type 1 civilization.
Yeah, we're type 1. I don't want to be type 1. I'm type 84975B. I just fall off the grid, nigga.
You're Pickle Rick?
Yeah, I'm Pickle Rick, bitch! I don't like it.
C197 or whatever it is.
Yeah, me and my girls don't like it. We're gone. I'm bringing my loved ones. We don't like that shit. I don't want to be integrated. I don't want to be possessed. I don't want none of that shit. Don't find out where I'm at unless I tell you where I'm at. Hell no. That's like having unwanted company and the motherfuckers just show up randomly. You're like, really? You gonna do this on a Tuesday, nigga?
The things you guys need to know, the world is changing very quickly.
It is. Without our consent.
Now, we've had some revolutions in our time. YouTube and podcasts came along and they became this wave of artistic expression.
Yeah.
We're no longer we don't need a gatekeeper.
It was like no other before it. Like, you guys don't understand how hard it was before it. Like, this is easy.
It was quality versus quantity.
Yep.
If you were quality, you would stand out.
Yep.
Now, the advertisers are fighting back.
Oh, they're pissed now.
They're trying to take YouTube back.
Yeah, we want it back, goddammit.
If you want ad revenues, you have to be sanitized down to our standards.
Yep.
They don't want a free market of ideas. They're scared of ideas. They want control. They want to be able to tell you what their idea of a black person is, what their idea of a white person is, what their idea of a gay person is.
Nope.
And it's what they're comfortable with based on the amount of product they will sell with that identity that they're selling.
Exactly. And I say, fuck that, nigga.
You gotta turn the middle finger
up. Man, fuck that. Wait a minute. Come on, man. No, we ain't doing that.
But these are we're grappling with not only what it means to be human, but what freedom means. What's his name I just had on the Economy Podcast? Mike, I don't want to say his last name. Mike Petrick. He's changed his name. I don't know which one's legit to say. He said he thinks we're heading...
Wait a minute.
He thinks we're heading toward transparency. Now, transparency is, because of the internet, you can know anything about anyone. Let's kick it to this level. Google Glasses. Once everybody has them, you could look at somebody talking to you, read their body temperature and their body language, and your glasses are researching their social media and their triggers and giving you a profile of them as you're talking to them.
Yeah.
People won't be able to lie to you anymore. Yeah. Our ethics will change as the technology evolves.
Hey, futurists. Hey, futurists. This is y'all episode, man. Futurists, pay attention. We're on that shit. Yeah, we're on that shit. This is what's about to go down. Then we're going to be talking about it.
We got camera phones.
Come on.
And there's horny teenagers.
Yep.
And I was like, they're going to have to rewrite the laws about child pornography. Because otherwise, teenagers taking pictures of themselves and sending it to other teenagers are going to be going to jail for a long time. We haven't even grappled with that idea yet. We haven't grappled with what it means to have an online identity yet.
Yeah.
And things are about to dramatically change beyond where we're at.
Real. Y'all don't even understand. Mind-blowing. Message. You know what I'm saying? Message. Look
it
up,
boy. Did you know
that
40% of millennials think that speech should be banned if it's considered hate speech?
All right. Now, that's way too close.
Those it blew my mind when I was in college and somebody's like, I support free speech. And I was like, cool, what does that mean? And they're like, everything from the KKK to the president. And I was like, why would you support the KKK? And they're like, we have to support everyone. Everyone, even the shit we don't like. Or else we run the risk of missing out on ideas that could help and save and change us. It's completely free or not at all. Because if you let somebody be in charge, it's like, who gets to decide what's hate speech and what isn't?
Right. Every group does. And everybody's going to be upset. Duh, hello, that's what we're going through. Like,
and even a broken clock is raised twice a day. Like,
it is.
Every conspiracy has some thread of truth in it.
Every positive, there is some type of negative. And every negative, there's some type of positive. Go looking.
And right now, we got to deal with the dingularity.
Oh, damn. Fucking Mortys.
All these goddamn Mortys.
God
too much misinformation.
Yeah.
What happened to discernment?
The fucking flags. What happened to old school values? Like
wisdom.
No, it doesn't. Wisdom is knowledge now. Like, isn't wisdom? No, it's a fucking different. If it meant the same thing, it'll be called the same thing.
Meant the same thing, it'll be the same thing.
Come on, wisdom, man. Wisdom is something that's grown over time. People don't understand that wisdom is just not something that you just fall into like, oh, I'm all of a sudden wet. No, it's not. It's something that is grown over time and grown through adversities and what's the other word?
Trials and tribulations.
Just like, that's what it's grown through.
By the way, wisdom helps you deal with the moment.
Yeah.
And whenever you run into that moment,
you got
a little perspective to deal with it.
Yep.
But there's a lot of goddamn moments.
Oh, I like it.
You always going to be tested.
Ooh, dropping that wisdom. Wisdom.
Here's something. Wisdom. So I said my set tonight, like, the things you say are either an affirmation of life or an affirmation of death.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that black and white, but that is a good meditation to get you to catch yourself in your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So people come at you, they say all kinds of crazy shit, and it's easy to react. They're like, oh, I'm being defensive, or, oh, like, fuck you and your mama, too. The truth of the matter is, what other people say doesn't really matter. It doesn't really affect you.
Nope.
And that meditation helps you stop and say, all right, before I get all up in my feelings, who's ever succeeded by being in their feelings?
Right. Nobody.
Let me take a moment, and am I going to choose life or choose death? Am I going to sit down and be humble, and I'll eat this dick for the sake of keeping the peace of humanity?
Yeah.
Or am I going to stand up?
Yep. The choice is yours.
But then the hard part becomes, where do you have boundaries? Where do you stand up and say, like, no, you're categorically wrong?
When that voice inside of you that's called courage, courage, where it's just like, hey, man, no, hell no. I have to disagree. Like, you know when to speak and when not to speak. You know it. You know it. If you feel like somebody trying you and you feel like you're a little bit more than what they're giving you credit for, hey, everybody likes to toot their own horn. We're going to call somebody out. And if we don't, it's our poker face. If we don't got it, it's our poker face. Like, we're still going to be like, nigga, I got it. To somebody, I got bust your ass. But, hey, listen to that inside courage. Like, it's different.
Guys, you have no idea what kind of influence you're having.
Yeah, like, for real.
I do comedy once a week.
Yeah.
And somehow I've affected ripples throughout, like, New York, L.A., Chicago, from the suburbs to the fucking city. Somehow, some way, little old me, Mr. Don't Give a Fuck, still won't leave.
Yeah.
to quote him.
Yeah, for real.
Who now has a tranny mustache.
For real.
Got those thin whiskers.
Oh, my God. The poking out the black ones.
Who's giving him the pills?
Look, creepy black ones.
Is he in transition?
Yeah. No, out of transition. Post-transition.
He's still waiting to shave for the first time.
And don't give
him
a razor.
These are early whiskers.
Yeah. Don't give him no razor. There's only three there. It's like Homer Simpson.
Anyway, you have no idea what kind of effect you have in this world. So try to choose life more than you choose death.
Yeah.
Leroy, you want to hit us with the last word? I know I talked this whole episode.
It's all good, man. I was just listening where you're coming from. You're about to have the baby, so there's a lot on your mind right now. What
super
up,
sensitive.
Courtney? Hell yeah. But hey, Ian, like, just to piggyback off what you were saying, it is, you have a choice, and it's about, like, choosing to live in the moment. But hey, respect everybody's lane. Everybody's lane is different. That's how it is in Ian's world. And don't say, oh, it's not true. If that man feel like it is, and he has certain things that...
You know what's weird about being an artist?
What's up?
I'm all artsy. Yeah. I'm super gay.
I never looked at it like that because I feel like I'm artsy, but I don't feel like I'm gay. I like women. I like all titties and ass.
Wait, you have to be comfortable with offending people.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line, because you're not going to please everyone.
Yeah. I mean,
and if you are, what the fuck are we listening for?
Guys,
why are we listening?
Like honestly, it's one of those, like, I tried to do yoga because I wanted more stretching and more meditation. Like, come on, I know why I went to yoga class. It's just like that. I know why I got in comedy. To piss motherfuckers off, to express myself in a way where it's like, it's not against the law. Like, I'm a pusher, goddammit. I'm a pusher, goddammit.
It's so weird growing up in comedy because I started off as Mr. Don't Give a Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Turn.
You still are. You still are. You still are, bro.
Well, I've gotten way more sensitive as I've gotten older where I'm like, all right, let's class it up.
No, you didn't get sensitive. You just don't want to get yelled at. You're that little kid who always gets yelled at. Yeah, like...
If I can't handle it now, what the fuck am I going to do with fame? There's no point in even...
Oh, no.
What the fuck am I going to do with a half-decent album sale if I can't take from the open mic?
Honestly, bro, when you make it, it's going to be the opposite because you're going to be like, you're going to really push them. You're going to really push everybody. I'm like,
Pull skirts up.
Hell yeah. I'm like, do it, bro. This is your time, bro.
Don't study me.
What's that dude? Damn, man, I forgot. Post Malone. Yeah.
Post Malone.
Hell yeah. But all right, my final words on it, man. Hey, final words on our episode, man. Like, what I've learned is just, it is, I like wisdom. I really like wisdom and futurists. Like, guys, I took just a little bit on before my final words. Hey, bro, I went to, like, this investing shit, like, how to invest in stocks and Bitcoin, like, what you were talking about. This shit is the wave of the future. Financially, like, understand this. Like, I go where the greedy white man is going, and financially, like, they're leaving little breadcrumbs, and you can make money. Maybe not as significant as theirs because you're not investing that much, but you could come out this situation.
Get it at the ground level.
Yeah, honestly.
Ground level on Apple or Google.
And I would do
is worth a grip.
Or Amazon.
That's
is
your kids
worth
are
a
retired.
Grip. Like, it's just about playing smart, and if you don't know, go figure it out.
I didn't go through all the futures.
Oh, yeah. Go
so
ahead.
That was a positive future.
All right.
A negative future could be only the elite get this, and there's a huge disparity between the elite and the poor.
Okay.
Another one could be the AI could become God, absorb reality, and each of us have already been absorbed into the AI, and we are now in a simulation, and it's going to perfectly let us.
Good morning.
It's going to perfectly let us live out our lives or our karma, and then it'll let us cease to exist.
Bro,
but we've already been devoured.
Oh no, man! I know you're trying. Can we get Wendy's? I'm starving, man. I got you on Wendy's, bro.
We'll go through real quick.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up. last episode of 2017.
Yeah.
Futurist weird shit.
No, he's gonna have one more. Ian's gonna get one more. It's gonna be like a baby update. Like, this is Ian. Like, he's gonna get one more. I'll probably be over there too.
As soon as the baby's here, I'll go out again.
Yeah.
Big announcements. There is shit coming up, so I'm taking a little bit of a break. But 2018. Me and my goon squad.
Goon squad! 18 Dream Team, nigga. Yeah.
We got some dope shit coming to YouTube. I don't want to spoil it in case it doesn't happen. But
it will. Stay positive, bro.
Some super dope shit. All right, my name's Ian Ellis at Chicago Open Mic.
Yo, this is Leroy Hitz, man. Stay tuned. I got some shit, man. Some shit for y'all.
Go check
KB,
out.
KB, what's up?
Yeah, go check out KB, Unpopular Truth.
Yeah, what up,
shout
bro?
Out to Corey.
Hey, man, shout out to the whole team. 18 Dream Team, nigga.
What?
Let's go get it. One love, y'all.
Hey yo, I know these niggas don't like me, but I don't like none of y'all niggas, you know what I'm saying? 50 Cent, 9-9, motherfucking doo-wop, Value 3, take it however the fuck you wanna take it, faggot ass niggas.
50 Cent, show these niggas how to rhyme.
Yo, they shot that boy down like a dog in the street. Left him smelly, man, fuck that. Roll him over, take that pelle pelle. You ain't never heard a motherfucker spit like this. Not even puffing, that nigga there make crazy hits. Every few years a nigga come with crazy hot. I'm the next best thing since Biggie and Pop. Now I'm saying this shit slow, so you don't miss it. Don't be a statistic, my jewels from the district. Stay with my biscuit, catch mines and get twisted. Son, I'm off the meter, my mind locked on crime. See, I'm tired of all these rapping niggas dying to shine. And I'm tired of things acting for a dime for nine. Hearing this next punchline for me may sound strange. You sit your $5 ass down before I make 10. Yo, the cell went stale, quarter mil bad. Fresh out the jam, shit is really real. Niggas are still in jail, I pray they don't tell. 20-man indictment, my lawyer gotta fight this. Niggas know, I ain't never press for dough, and niggas know I don't serve nobody I don't know. Son said he was from OT, pay 11 to OZ. My man brought him to me. See, he ain't really know B, that it was hot. Dude was a cop, he was just trying to pop to put the new beans on his drop. First I served him OZ, then I served him OG. Now we on code D. Damn, man, I OD. You know how it is on the street. Niggas is holding the heat. Pro Pro walking the beat. We burning L's up in the Jeep. Ain't that sweet? We used to move so strategic. It's over, I can't believe it. Damn, it's over. Fancy's the six, the Lex in the Range Rover. Now a nigga rolling in the Toyota Corolla. Used to never get high, now I'm never sober. 386 shot clock, top loader. Keep it in my waist, son, I put one in your face. I ain't got nothing to lose, nigga, so stay in your place. Just jump bail, I ain't been on the run long. But it feels like a motherfucking marathon. Come on, bounce, nigga, bounce. Why the reason why y'all motherfuckers say bounce, bitch? Niggas don't set trends, niggas just jump on dicks. That's why they Bloods and Crips now.
That's how we do it.